let's open up this morning to a very well-known passage of Scripture. And let's read together from Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for that promise. And Lord, and as we study your word this morning, I pray, Father, that it would be so amazingly clear to us that this is for us to take and to put in front of us and to stand on this word, Lord God. Thank you for David and for his life and where you had him, Lord, when he sat down to write this, that we would be, it would be one of the most read passages of Scripture for a reason, Lord. Please speak to us through your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Sunday mornings, they always come. When studying for this, it was a couple of weeks ago, and I was hanging out with Tom, and he was asking me where I thought I would be for Sunday, and I was in another place in the Word, and I was just like, you know, the Lord's really showing me some stuff here. And so he asked me, he was like, as Tom tends to do, he asked me what the Lord is doing in my life right now. He's like, if you could tell me three things that God is doing right now, what would you say that they would be? And I had a day to go home and like write it down, so to think about it. I didn't have to take but about 5 seconds to know that the Lord is showing me some things right now in my life that I could say, as the Johnson family, we're definitely in uncharted waters, okay? Anybody else feel like they're in uncharted waters in their life? Okay, good. You're in the right place this morning. So, you know, life has looked a certain way for a long time. I've walked with the Lord now for, I don't know, I was 17. A lot of people can remember the exact date and the exact time where they invited the Lord into their heart, and that's good. But to tell you the truth, if it wasn't Sunday and I wasn't standing here with all of you looking at me, I'm always like, what day is it anyways? So I can't remember the exact day that I asked the Lord to come into my life, but I remember the time in my life and where I was in life. And then I remember feeling a peace in my life that I had never experienced before. And as I've been walking with the Lord, we come through these times where you feel like you're kind of getting it a little bit, you know, like some training wheels, and you can kind of cruise pretty good with your training wheels, and then the wheels come off, and then the other wheels come off, and then you fall, and you're like, you know, what am I doing? I don't even know what I'm doing. Life is hard. What's going on? And then we come to a place where a couple years ago, living in Breck, we were a part of a flourishing Calvary Chapel in Breckenridge, Great Divide Calvary, under my pastor Jimmy Humphreys there. And an opportunity came out of nowhere. Maybe we should move to Washington. And I was like, that is crazy talk. I don't want to move to Washington. I like snowboarding every day. I like living 5 minutes from the mountain. We love this community that we live in. There's like 4,000-ish people that live in Breckenridge. You couldn't go anywhere quickly, okay? You couldn't go to the grocery store Like here, I go to the grocery store. I'm like, I recognize a couple of people at like the checkout counter, but that's it. You go to the grocery store in Breck, and you're there for an hour because you see everybody. You see people from church and that, and you see people from the mountain. And half of my friends work there. You know, you'd go to the deli and like, hey, there's Chris, and you'd, you know, get your meat and the whole deal. So it was awesome. You're part of a community. Loved it. And then the Lord calls us literally to come here. And the reasons why we came are not the reasons why we were here per se. It was the Lord that brought us here. And I really feel for my family and for myself that one of the main reasons why we're here is to be part of this fellowship. And with Tom and with you guys, and that's just heavy for me just to think about. And but we're in uncharted waters. We're like, okay, two kids, Roger, work, seasonal, okay. But God says to me through Tom, you know Psalm 23, right? Yeah, I know Psalm 23. Read it at funerals. It's rad. It's a good piece of scripture. It's like the assurance of heaven. And he pulls out his Bible and we sit down, and he pulls out a piece of paper. And he was all, read me the first verse. So I read him the first verse, and he's like, so what's going on in your life? So I talk about my life, and he's like, read the second verse. I read the second verse, and so on and so forth, till we get done. And it's never happened before, but he goes, I think the Lord has a sermon for you. And he hands me this piece of paper, and I'm like, wow, that was heavy, you know? That was the Lord just spoke right to my heart. So I've taken this and applied it to my life, and Psalm 23 isn't just for funerals, I'm here to tell you. It's for you right now this morning, it's for me this morning, and the way that I study scripture, again, uncharted waters, I don't have like a book, okay? So you guys are like, oh, JJ's giving the sermon, but I don't really know what I'm doing, by the way. I just know what the Lord is doing in my life. And I know the power of his word in my life, and I know how he has changed my life. So I approach Psalm 23, a psalm of David. Well, I know David. You can read in 2 Samuel a lot about David. First and foremost, what do we think of David? Goliath, right? Okay. So I just start reading. I'm like, okay, David, King David started out as a shepherd boy, but this psalm and studying was written at the end of his life. So you get to the end of David's life, and I feel like a little kid, like when I'd sit before my grandpa, and I'd be like, you know, and he would open up his words. Come to find out, most of them were like, you know, stories probably he made up. But you sit from your grandpa, and you're like, he's going to say something. You're listening. You want to know. So Grandpa David, at the end of his life, he sits down to write this, and I'm thinking, okay, King, all these armies he's faced, the sin that is in the Bible. Could you imagine if your sin, your life was written down in the Bible, all your mistakes, you were written down for people to like look and study and be like, yeah, God's grace. They'd be like, every service would be on grace. They'd be like, yep, God's grace right there again. He forgave them. So I look back, and I'm just looking at David, and I'm like, his sin is laid out for us, you know, and we can just be like, how could you do that, you know, right, right? It's easy for us to be like, how could you do that? And then, you know, the wheels fall off. And so I'm like, wow, David, at the end. So are you going to tell us how you defeated these armies? Are you going to tell us, like, unreal battle strategies? Are you going to tell us that? What are you going to tell us? And he doesn't sit down and say, oh, I'm going to tell you that God's your shepherd. He sits down and he says, the Lord is my shepherd. So as David takes a trip down memory lane for his life, all that God has done in his life, he comes back to what? When he was a boy, the truths that the Lord showed him as a boy had stayed with him his whole life up until now. And when he has some wisdom to depart when he thinks about life and what life is and who God has been in his life. See, God delivered many armies into David's hand, many into the hand of the king. But he looks and he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Wow. So he says that this word want means to lack, to be found lacking. So he's like, God is my shepherd. He will provide everything for me. I tend to think of this psalm. I mean, I've read a bunch, but for me, it's kind of in two parts. There is verse 1, and then there's the rest of it. See, verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's a personal declaration that David makes on his own. And the rest of Psalm 23 doesn't come into play unless verse 1 is real in your life. So David comes to a place where he says, wow, out of all of this, I realize that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is a personal declaration. David being a shepherd and being knowing very well what that means, let me break it down a little bit more. The first key here is my, okay? He says this for himself. In a sermon, typically, I think, from what I've done, is you write it and it's an address to us, the body. We use lots of terms like us and we because it's for us. Today I've written everything in I. Because as I take from David's example here, this is a very personal thing for him. The Lord is my shepherd. So by saying that God is his shepherd, what is he saying that he is? Well, we know that in John, as we read, when Jesus on the way to the garden with the disciples, they are walking through the vineyards, and Jesus looks and he says, I am the vine, right? And you are the branches. He who abides in me bears much fruit. So do you guys remember Tom with the branch? And he's like, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to help you out with your walk with the Lord. Okay, if you can grab this, you're going to be blessed. You're a branch. And everyone was like, woohoo, I'm a branch. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that if you say the Lord is my shepherd, then you're calling yourself a sheep. The shepherd owns the sheep. So when you say, the Lord is my shepherd, you say, I am a sheep and I belong to God. You also say that I will do what he says. If there were a shepherd present, they could tell you all sorts of interesting facts about sheep. There's all sorts of crazy little things about sheep. The way they act, they won't lie down in certain situations. If there's like something going on within the flock, they literally can't rest. They won't lay down if they're not full. They won't lay down if they sense fear is present. But when you say, the Lord is my shepherd, all that gets squashed. It should. Because you are under the Lord's shepherdship. I think I made that word up, but it sounded really good. So I just I kept it going. So I'm like, wow, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, I've heard Jesus talk about that before. I wonder what he says. And in John, the gospel according to John, in chapter 10, verse 11, it says, Jesus speaking, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And in verse 27 of the same chapter in John, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Amen. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, it says, and when the chief shepherd appears, when he comes back, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. See, Jesus, The word shepherd is all throughout the Bible. And David lays it out here. And Jesus takes it and elaborates on who he is. See, he is the good shepherd. So when you say the Lord is my shepherd, by declaring that out of your mouth, if it has happened in your heart and you declare that, then we stand on these words. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You believe that Jesus died and resurrected? Yeah. Heck yeah, I do. It's a real, it's a truth that I don't just read, but that I live because I say, the Lord is my shepherd. See, there's shepherds all over. So I'm thinking through, you know, I had my whole life, this sermon's been rewritten like 5 times, but it was all written out to be like, wow, where's the Lord? Where were the shepherds that I had in my life before I would come and say, no, no, the Lord is my shepherd. See, I've been my own shepherd. As a matter of fact, if we're sheep, there's sheep constantly going, you don't need a shepherd, dude. Be your own shepherd. It's so much better when you're a shepherd. Why would you be a sheep? Why would you follow some teaching in some book? Why would you be a sheep? Why would you follow someone who's trying to tell you what you can't do, is what the world would say. They'll try to, you know what? Bah. I can't lead myself. I've proven that to myself time and time and time again. I've tried to lead myself. I've had friends that refuse to hear and want to lead themselves, and they're not here anymore. Because when I lead myself, the wheels fall off, okay? And I can't put them back on. I would say that the Lord is my shepherd. So in verse 1, I grab that, David. I understand. I agree with you. The Lord is my shepherd. What next, Grandpa David? Tell me more. What does that mean, the Lord is my shepherd? He says, God will supply all my needs. Wow. Like food? Yeah. But what about if I don't have a lot of hours at work? Did you just say that I'm your shepherd? I did. Did I just say that I will supply all your needs? You did. And stop whining. He would say to me, probably not to you. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. In Matthew 5, verse 6, it says, Jesus speaking, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. When the Lord is our shepherd, you say, God, you know what's best for me. Do you ever come to that realization? It's like all the time, like, oh, God, you know what's best for me. We sit around and we're like, where are my green pastures? Where are my still waters? I don't feel any still waters in this room. There's toys all over the place. Where are my still waters? Me, me, me. Where's mine? There wasn't one sentence or even thought in there, JJ, of the Lord is my shepherd. But when we are under his lordship, he will make us lie down in green pastures. He will lead us beside still waters, and he will restore your soul. Maybe you're in a place this morning where you can't say the Lord is my shepherd. Someone said, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Would you make the declaration that the Lord is your shepherd? And you would be like, well, I don't think so. But maybe you're that place this morning where the Lord is speaking that to you. And praise God, because his Holy Spirit speaks to us. That's how it works. He leads you to the cross if you aren't saved, and he shows you what Jesus did, and he shows you that Jesus is the good shepherd. But this restore my soul could mean that for the very first time in your life, you want to lay it down and you say, Lord, I want you to restore my soul. You could be converted. This restoration word means to confess or be converted. If you're in a place where this morning where you are a follower of Jesus and he is your shepherd, but you're not feeling green pastures and you're not feeling still waters, are you confessing your sin? It is such a vital part of who we are as Christians. It's such a vital part of our relationship with the Father. He wants us. As a matter of fact, he tells us that he will lead us beside still waters. He'll have green pastures. He'll restore us if we confess to him what is separating us from him. If we stop looking at the world and other sheep and talking about what's ripping us off, and we will bring our garbage to the foot of the cross and lay it before the Lord, he will restore you. Yeah, but it's so hard, dude, because I'm like in a kind, you know, a position of leadership, or I'm kind of a big deal at my work. You know, people look to me and people think that my marriage is all together, or people think that I'm like this epic student or whatever. Okay. People think this. What does your shepherd think? He wants you. He wants to guide you. He wants to lead you. He wants to restore you. But if you aren't, if you're pulling him, yourself out of his shepherdship and what he would have, you're not going to feel at peace. You're going to feel all jacked up inside because you aren't bringing that confession to the Lord. There was a time for me in snowboarding where I got to a point where, man, I was really close. I was kind of on the edge for a long time of like making that next step where it could be like a full-time job. And I wanted it to be, you know. I'd be like, then I've made it. I was always going like, I need to make it. I remember Steph, you know, the person who can speak the most honestly to me, our wives. And she says to me, she was like, well, what does that mean to you to like make it in snowboarding? I was like, it's when like I'm making a paycheck and we're supporting our family. And that's what it's about. It's a job. It's fun, but it's a job, you know. And there was a time where I was just like, Lord, oh, why won't you just make me famous? If you would make me famous and rich, it'd be, I'd totally tell everyone that it's you, God. I'd totally tell everyone that's like, God did this. God gave me this. God gave me that. And the Lord would say to me, JJ, what, you need that to say that? Who's your shepherd, kiddo? And I'd say to him, Yabut was a rabbit. When I came to that time where I said, Lord, I just want you. I understand. He's like, sweet, move to Washington. And I was like, whoa, wait. The snowboarding's really good here. It is. It's insanely good. It's just a little farther than I used to have to go. He restored that part of my life. I look at winter now, and every year in the fall, and you could ask Steph, I would go through, like, I would get depressed every fall. While you're a believer? Yeah, totally. And that's not like I don't think I was in like a state of deep depression, but something about this time of year would just kind of click, and it would just be weird for a couple weeks until stuff started going. And it was this transition period of like, what's the winter going to look like? Am I, you know, money? Okay, I need to do this. I need to do that. And all these different things. And every year about this time, it would just be off for a couple weeks, wouldn't it? Yep. And I've realized, actually, I think it's been this past summer, and just thinking about it, that I was so focused on what I was going to do and how I was going to do it all the time, instead of coming to just being like, wow, God's going to take care of me. Like, you know, why is it that we as believers think that if we give everything to God, that he's just going to be like, all right, sweet. Well, you thought that was fun? I'll take it. Oh, you thought that was, I'll take that. Like, we're on this thing where it's like, if I give everything to him, if I give him my heart, he's going to take away all the cool things I like to do. Do you realize that when you give God your heart, you see what is so much stinking cooler than what you ever thought was on your, look, think of heaven. People are like, I don't want to die. Why? Like, I want to see my boys grow up. I want to be married to Steph forever. But for people will be like, yeah, but earth is rad. Dude, 6 days. Heaven, 2,000 years. Okay? It's going to be sick. Do you guys know that word? It means cool. It means rad. I heard Tom say gnarly in a sermon 2 weeks ago. We have the CD in the back. So it's rubbing off. We have this thing like, if I give it to him, but it's like, when you give him your heart and you experience green pastures and still waters for your soul, there's no sport, there's no hobby, there's no job that can take the place of what God wants to do in my life. First person. He restores my soul. 1 Peter 2 says, "For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul." Wow. Verse 3, "He leads me in the paths of righteousness." The paths of righteousness, simply put, means the right path. We get so caught up in, what's the plan for my life? God, what's the plan? If you would just tell me the plan, I'm in. I'm down. I want to know the plan for my life. Read Psalm 23 every single day. And I think you will see the plan for your life. Because Psalm 23 isn't just a reflective psalm, something you can read when you're towards the end or at the end. It is something you can look at now and you're like, wow, the plan for my life is that God wants to lead me and I'm going to experience rest for my soul. He's going to lead me down the right path. There's going to be peaks and valleys, shadows, mountaintops. We get so focused on the mountaintop. Oh, it was awesome. And then the valley, this is horrible. And God's just like, just follow me. I'm leading you through it. We'll get there in a sec, but he's like, be with me, okay? The plan for your life, follow the Lord. Yeah, but what should I do for a job? I don't know. But whatever you do, honor God in it. I'm a landscaper. I love it. I like to build things. Actually, I don't love it all the time. I take that back. It was super muddy last week. You ever shovel mud? It's like trying to shovel water. You're like, what am I doing? You're not making any difference. You can shovel all day and then nothing moves. You're like, this is ridiculous. And I have to be perfectly honest. There are times where I'm at my job and I'm like, how is this honoring God? How in the world? See, people think that, like, oh, if you're in the ministry, if you're a pastor, then that's your job. You honor God. Well, that's true, but it's false at the same time because you don't have to be in ministry or stand behind a pulpit to honor God with your job. The purpose of a pastor teacher is to build up the body for the work of the ministry, okay? So as we go out into the mission field and we're at our places of work, whether you love your job, a lot of people love their job, what they get to do, that's awesome. Whether you don't like your job, I've had some jobs, I'll just say straight up, I could not stand my job. I was like, ugh, every day. But what is it about it when you know that you're working for the king, for your shepherd? It's not that bad. You can do this. What's the plan for my life? The plan for your life is to declare that the Lord is your shepherd and follow him because he will reveal the paths of righteousness. He will reveal the right path for you. Don't focus on the path. Focus on the footsteps of the one you're following. Amen? All righty. Proverbs 3:5. I know this one to be true because it's on the cup of shakes at In-N-Out Burger. Vanilla shake, double-double, animal style fries, and a vanilla shake. And on the bottom of that cup, on the vanilla shake, there's these little things that says, Proverbs 3:5. And I hit dash in 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Mm. And then right after that it says, for his name's sake. Wait a minute. Come on. Got a little bit of athletic ability, you know, Lord? I love watching football, okay? I played football in high school. I used to get just annihilated every week. You know, I was fast. I'd be running. Boom, I used to get hit so hard. I came back to the huddle one time, and we're losing. We were a small school. We used to get just beat every game. But it was fun. I came back to the huddle, and everyone's laughing. Like, they're chuckling. I'm like, what are you guys laughing about, man? We're losing. And they were like, are you okay? I'm like, what do you mean? And they're like, dude, that was the funniest thing ever. Anyways, I used to just get annihilated. But I watch football now, and just the athleticism, man. I love it. I'm a Bronco fan. Yes, right. Here's my beef with the football, though. We're not going to get into football and all that, but catch, boom, good play. Me, I did it. I do it. I'm the man. I'm this. I'm that. And I'm like, where's Barry Sanders anymore? Act like you've been there before, man. You know? Act like you've been given this ability, this athletic ability that has been given to you by your creator, and you turn it all on yourself. I'm my shepherd. Who's the man? I caught that ball. Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. You know? I dig a ditch. Yeah. This shovel's mine. I'm the man. You know, I'm just like. Drives me nuts. But I can't say that that's not me, that I haven't been there, and I've not been there, because in snowboarding, I was. I was like, oh, I'm getting good. I'm getting good. I like it. The Lord says, no, JJ, I created you for me. What? Yeah, in Hebrews 13, 20 and 21, it says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, it says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they all were created. If I declare that the Lord is my shepherd, I am declaring that I am not my own. I am declaring that I was bought with a price, and I belong to God for his good pleasure. Isn't that a trip? We were created. Why was I created? Why was I put on here on the earth? Because it pleased God to create you? You're God's workmanship, created to please him. Take that and like chew it up for a second, because that's just kind of heavy to think about. Wait, me with all of my shortcomings or whatever? Yep, just how you were. You were created because it pleased God to create you that way. It pleased him to make you just who you are. Oh, it makes it a little bit easier to be me now when I think about that. I'm like, wow. Romans says, chapter 14, for none of us live to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are God's. If the Lord is my shepherd, if I declare that, then the purpose of my life is to glorify God. And whatever I'm doing, that's the purpose of my life. And that's what David tells us. Okay, ready? Darkness sets in. That's all good. Rest, awesome. Still waters, awesome. Restoration, yes, I want that. Yay. I'm like, yay. Yay! Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What? Why did you have to go there with everything? Why did it have to get dark and hard? Real quick, I heard it put very well in a sermon a few weeks ago. When we were down at this conference, Pastor Bob Caldwell, he's like, look, you guys remember him? He was like, talk like this. If you think you're going to get through this life and it's going to be easy, it's not, okay? Get over it. That's what he said. I was just like, okay, sweet. But it's the truth, you see, because it's about who we're following. Even though I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back. I know you are near, okay? So I won't fear evil. Why? Because God is with me. We get so concerned about the valley, okay? So the valley of the shadow of death, it's read at funerals because you literally have passed from the days of this life into the next life. It's an amazing promise. I will not be afraid. I'm afraid to die. You shouldn't be. There's nothing that death can do to make you scared. So when you're going through the valley, imagine with me, okay? Valley, big walls on the side. You're just this little bitty thing down in the middle, and it seems so big. The shadow of death, it's dark. There's a shadow cast over your path. And you're like, man, I got to go through that. I don't want to go through it. I just want to go around. But you can't go around. It's right there. You got to face it. Wait a minute. Why is there a shadow? What causes shadows? Light. So there's light shining on whatever it is that's casting a shadow over your path. Can a shadow hurt you? Can a shadow stop you? Can a shadow even slow you down? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God's light shines all around, and I won't be scared, David would say. Wow, why? Because God is with me. No matter where you're at, he says, God is with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He knows as a shepherd. He had to ward off enemies, protect his sheep. You have prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We think of enemies as like people. So it's like all of a sudden we can prepare a table and we're eating like, yeah, dude, check out, I'm eating. God's prepared this. All you enemies out there, watching me eat all this food or whatever. But think about your circumstances, okay? In the midst of my circumstances, in the midst of the darkness of my valley that I'm in my life right now, just the circumstances that surround me, God has prepared a table. Do you guys remember the story of David and Mephibosheth, where he was like, David remembers, he was like, is there someone in the house of, or you know, in the family of Jonathan and Saul that I can honor that can, you know, and they're like, yeah, Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son. And he brings him forth and he says, from this day forth, you will eat at the king's table. Could you imagine being, having nothing and then sitting at a king's table? Imagine the spread at a king's table. You know what I mean? You're kicking back in this chair, this big old whatever made out of gold. I think of like something really, you know, it's not a lazy boy. You're like, yeah, but you're just like this table, like you've never even seen. You're like, what? Your utensils are gold? That's crazy. Your cups are got jewels on, whatever. I just think of like the most outlandish thing you can think of, okay? I've seen cribs. People do some weird stuff. So you have all these things. You're at the king's table. What does that mean? And then your food comes forth. You know, the dude comes in, the butler or whatever, and he comes in, and he's got this big old silver platter, and he sets it in front of you. And then they open it up, and the Lord has prepared a meal for you. There's this word sitting right there. God has prepared a meal for you. And the presence of your enemies, in the presence of the circumstances in your life, God gives us Psalm 23 that we could sit there and we can be filled and we can experience God's green pastures and his still waters, and we can have a restored soul. And we know that there's going to be ups and downs and good and bad and things that we're unsure of. But if we're walking in the assurance that the Lord is our shepherd, he says he is with us. Amen. And we get to that point and we're like, God, I need your word. I need your word. What restores you? What restores your soul? It's God's word and his spirit. Can you restore yourself? Nope. How do you know? I've tried. God's word and God's spirit restores us. And then we are anointed, and I'll finish with this. We are anointed with God's word and his spirit. He anoints us. He says in verse 5, the second part, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. When God has fed you a meal from his word, okay, and he has restored your soul, and you have confessed your sin, and you are walking with the Lord, guess what? You don't have to worry about discipling those around you. You don't have to worry about God's power pouring out of your life. You know why? Because it's going to do it anyways. Because you're filled to the point of overflow. When you can say, tasted and seen that the Lord is good, people are going to be like, dude, they might think all sorts of stuff. Hey, you're crazy. That's all good. David said, I will be more undignified than this when he is dancing before God. People are like, David, mellow out. Mellow out? No, he would say. I can't contain it. It just pours out of me onto those who are around. And then we would come and we would say, my cup runs over. When you experience God's power in your life, this is what you say. I'm blessed. I'm so blessed to be where I'm at. I'm not teaching those words right now. I'm just saying those words to you. I'm blessed to be where I'm at. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You can walk in God's goodness and mercy every day. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man who trusts in him. Psalm 34 would say, come to me, all you who labor a heavenly burden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, Jesus would say. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I would say to you this morning, stop being kicked around in the valleys of our lives and stand on God's word and experience his goodness. May your faith be strengthened, and know this, heaven awaits.